Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about orchids and this weekend's orchid show with our guest. Colton Blackburn is the conservatory curator at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison, and he can help you with your orchid and tropical plant questions. What would you like to know about the orchid show? Talk about that as well. Maybe you have a problem with one of your tropical plants. I hope you'll join in. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. Colton Blackburn, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us today. You're relatively new to Olbrich Gardens, tell us about your professional background.
Oh, yeah. So I've only been at Olbrich now for about 4 months, started mm-hmm. there in mid-September. Actually moved from the East Coast, where I was living in Richmond, Virginia, working for Lewis Ginter Botanical Gardens. Mm. There I was working mainly in the conservatory and greenhouses as well. And before that, I had worked up at Longwood Gardens in the Philadelphia area where I grew up. And I studied landscape design in college at the University of Tennessee.
Oh, good background for joining us here at Olbrich, for sure, in Madison. What your areas? You're kind of in charge of the conservatory there?
Yeah, so I've got a great team working with me, two other individuals, and we kind of work in the conservatory as well as managing our tropical collections, the orchids, and then our other tropical plants, as well as production that goes into the outdoor gardens, or we sell plants for the gift shop, or the different shows that horticulture puts on.
You know, we were talking maybe a month or so ago about the renovations that are going on at Olbrich. Will the conservatory be affected in any way?
So the conservatory will get a new climate control system as we update the new one that's going to replace what we have in the greenhouses. So they'll all be connected. But we will have to move our orchid collection and our tropical plant collections to a greenhouse off-site somewhere for the duration of the building of the new greenhouses. So that looks like it's going to be about a year-long process, because we're also building a new learning center, which is really exciting.
Yeah, that really is exciting. And let's get right to it. In terms of the Orchid Growers Guild, it's holding its annual Orchid Quest at Olbrich Gardens. So tell us what we can see if we go to that. I've been to past shows at other venues, and mm-hmm. always a lot of fun.
Yeah, so I think it'll be really exciting. This will be my first year actually seeing this one at Olbrich. They held it at Olbrich Gardens last year, and I heard it was, you know, a great success. But there'll be, you know, there's five different orchid societies showing plants that will be judged by AOS, the American Orchid Society. Olbrich, we also have a smaller booth. But yeah, so there'll be, you know, people showing orchids that they grow from their own collections, as well as a lot of vendors there selling orchids, and just, yeah, it's a whole orchid event.
I was trying to think of a time when I went to that event when I didn't walk away with an orchid, and I can't remember a single time.
Yeah, I'm thinking I'll probably buy an orchid.
And it always smells so good.
Yeah.
It's really a fun thing. Well, we can talk some more about that as we go along. How many orchid varieties do you have at Olbrich?
We have, oh boy, this is, yeah, that's putting me on the spot. The last time I think I looked at the collection records, I think we have at least 80 different genera. So, yeah, there's a fair amount.
There's a fair amount, for sure. Oh, boy. You can join in, by the way. Orchid Question, I hope you'll give us a call, maybe about Orchid Quest or just about your orchid or maybe one you'd like to have. Number to call, 1-800 642-1234. You can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org, or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. One of the interesting things for me, a long time ago, I spent a year at the University of the West Indies in Trinidad. And
oh, wow.
I don't know how many orchid varieties you're going to find there, but a lot. And one of the things that surprised me, because I knew nothing about orchids really at the time, was that they don't grow in soil. They need air. Mm-hmm. I saw them growing off of trees. Some people may not know that most orchids don't grow in soil, but need air. Tell us how that affects growing them in your home.
So most orchids are going to be epiphytic. So they're going to kind of, you know, get water from the air and, or, you know, just naturally from rainfall or that sort of thing, as they grow in the branches of most tropical trees. There are, in fact, though, some terrestrial orchids that do grow in soil, but for the most part, your tropical ones are going to be epiphytic. When you're growing those in the home, like a few of the biggest things is making sure the plant gets enough light and that humidity is, you know, between, probably, I would say at least 50%, which is kind of hard to get when you've got, when the heat's cranking this time of year. And you know, you'll grow them, you won't grow them in, you know, normal potting soil. You'll have them planted in, for the most part, you know, the orchid bark, which is just like a fir bark.
As you were talking, I was flashing back to my first purchased orchid, which was actually when I was 17 years old, and it was the senior prom coming up, and I bought an orchid corsage for my aunt, my date for the night. And I thought it was awfully expensive at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. John enough about me. Let's go to John in Madison. Hi, John.
Hi, Larry. I was wondering if the guests know that there's going to be vanilla orchids at this event.
Vanilla orchids.
Vanilla. I know there are some actually growing in the conservatory, but I'm not sure as far as any vendors will be selling them. But there's a chance.
There's a chance, but you're not. Yeah,
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure what all the vendors are selling.
You guys aren't selling them.
We are selling some orchid divisions, but for the most part, not a lot.
So now, what's so special about the vanilla orchid?
Well, it's a vine that, you know, that'll grow about 2 to 3 feet per year. And this is actually where you get the vanilla beans. And most people don't know that that's actually an orchid from which those come. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. So, John, maybe that's why you want those vanilla orchids.
Maybe.
Thanks a lot for calling. You're just going to have to show up and check it out. Appreciate your call. Bill in Oregon, let's go to you next. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Got a question about, I've tried growing a lot of orchids, and I was going to call and ask about lighting, but after hearing some of the comments, I'm realizing that what's probably killing my orchids is the lack of humidity. And because they seem to struggle during, it's always January and February.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because humidity is a big thing, and usually in the winter time with the heat, you know, you get down to about 30%. So you ultimately weighs it, you know, trying to raise the humidity. You know, they say I use one of those like shoe racks that you just fill with pebbles, like the shoe trays for dirty shoes, and just put water on there, and then you can set your plants on that.
So they're above the water, so you've got a little microclimate going.
Yeah, or you know, you can add a humidifier in the mix or different things.
So you're just creating a, you know, sort of an evaporation basin beneath it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, yeah, depending on what heat you have, it can really dry out the air. And, I mean, you can also combat that. Like, you might just have to, you know, mist more frequently or You know, just making sure that it's the plant is hydrated.
Yeah. There we go. Good luck, Bill.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. And let's go to Jan in Viroqua. Hi, Jan.
Hi. I have a Phalaenopsis that's putting on a spectacular show on three stems, some are of which have side stems as well. And I know from very sad experience that if I don't trim the stems back correctly, I wait a very long time to see flowers again. So could somebody help me understand what I should do once the flowers start dying off?
Yeah, Jan. So you'll just kind of, if you look at the stems of your Phalaenopsis, you'll see that there's sort of like nodes as you go up the stem. Usually, like once a stem has finished flowering, I'll just, you know, cut the stem back to like about 4 or 5 nodes above the base. And sometimes it'll reflower from there. But if it doesn't, like, you know, send out a new shoot within a month, I would probably just cut the stem back to the ground. They're not always going to reflower immediately.
So even if I'm willing to wait, I should cut it back, and it's better for the plant to send up a new stem if it doesn't reflower from the same stem right away?
Yeah, so, yeah, okay. You'll cut just like 4 or 5 nodes above, and sometimes that'll like cause it to rebranch and like send out a new flower spike from that, like, you know, where you cut it. But
yeah,
if it doesn't, you know, they'll only bloom about usually in the home two to three times a year, you know, depending on your level of expertise. But, you know, that's kind of typical for a lot of orchids.
But if it doesn't bloom again from that stem in a month, cut it all the way back down to the below the first node?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, you can just kind of cut it, you know, leave about 1/2 inch or so, or like 1/4 inch.
Thank you. That's extremely helpful. That's the clearest direction I've gotten. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jan. And here's Jan talking about Phalaenopsis, which is probably one of the more popular orchids, and I think at least here in Wisconsin, and probably for a first timer, it's often the one that's selected. Why is that a good choice?
They're typically a good choice because they can tolerate a little bit more of those conditions that you find in a home. You know, the lower humidity as opposed to like a Vanda, say, like that needs a lot of humidity, or they can typically tolerate lower light levels. And, you know, a good way to gauge whether or not your orchid is getting enough light is just really by looking at the leaves. Most people think they want, you know, dark, glossy green leaves. In many cases, you really are looking for like a medium grass-like green. If your leaves are like a grass green, then you know it's getting enough light. If they're dark green, it's probably not getting enough.
Oh!
Yeah.
Dark green, they're not getting enough.
Yeah. So, yeah,
it's counterintuitive, for sure.
Yeah, you would think the dark green would be healthier, but it usually just means it's getting a little bit too much shade.
I learned something every day on this show, and that was a good tip. You know, we were just talking about Phalaenopsis as a good for a first timer. Manny did email to ask what's the best species for an orchid newbie. Are there, you know, and Phalaenopsis certainly, but what are some other ones that you might recommend for a first timer?
I think it just depends that, you know, the level of time you're willing to like put into this. Phalaenopsis are a good one, and you know that's just a broad genus, so you can find a lot of species and hybrids within there. Paphiopetalums, which are like your tropical lady slipper, can be relatively easy to grow. You could also try some types of dendrobiums. Even some cattleyas, if you have enough light, could be a good one for a beginner because, you know, they only like to be watered about once a week. But, you know, that all comes down to conditions, and everyone's home is different. And I'm still moving my Phalaenopsis around in my house trying to find a good spot for it.
Talking with Colton Blackburn today, he is the conservatory curator at the Obrick Botanical Gardens, and we're visiting with him about orchids right now, but we can certainly probably talk about some other of the tropical plants as we visit with him. So if you have questions, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. or go ahead and post on our Facebook page. I'm Larry Mueller, Jill Nadeau, our producer, here on the Ideas Network. Right now, taking a look at orchids and a bit about other tropical plants with our guest, Colton Blackburn, conservatory curator at the Obrick Botanical Gardens. And I think we have one open line. Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You know, you were talking about light and wandering around your house with your, with some of your orchids to find the best light spot. Certainly, if you've got good natural light, that's wonderful. What about artificial light? Are there artificial lights that you like or prefer, and so forth?
I can't really speak too much about that. You know, there are just like simple grow lights you can buy off like Amazon or those type of things. But I really don't grow too many orchids at home. I have one that I just like hang on to. But, you know, I take care of them at work, and we don't typically use, we have some grow lights that we just
but
use.
Not many.
Yeah, but most of it is, you know, because they like filtered light. So, an east-facing window or just like a brightly lit room with a southern exposure is usually all you need. But you could invest in grow lights if it was, you know, you were a true orchid hobbyist.
Paul in Madison has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. So I'm remodeling my bathroom, and I'm putting solar tubes above the bathtub shower to illuminate the area with natural light. And I was thinking about putting in plants on the back half of the shower and was wondering if that would be a good idea with, you know, tropical plants. And if so, which ones?
That's a cool idea for sure. I love those tube lights begin with,
great.
But then having plants right in the shower area, right in the shower area, you're saying, Paul?
On the back wall, though, so they're not drenched.
Okay.
Yeah, that's, you know, that would be a good place where, you know, they're going to get enough humidity from day to day. And really, that's going to depend, I guess, are you looking just for orchids or just any type of, you know, vining or, you know, plant that would...
Yeah, anything that is going to look lush and produce oxygen, and I'm definitely not a green thumb, so I don't know or care, but...
Well, yeah, there's some, you know, there's some philodendron vines you could... I'm not quite sure what's the... backsplash, like are you going to have them growing right onto the surface or hanging in pots?
So I was thinking about putting cedar shelving in.
Okay, so they would be like in pots sitting on the shelves.
Right
yeah.
So I mean, there you could really do you know, you were saying you're adding the solar tube, so I think it would get plenty of light in there. And I think, you know, a lot of times you sort of experiment with different, you know, different orchid genus, genera that you like. And I think you could really try a lot of things in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like an ideal area.
Yeah, it sure does. And not only orchids, but other tropical plants for sure would.
Yeah, different vines. Philodendrons are easy.
Is that it's hot and humid during the shower.
Yeah.
It's maybe 10 minutes. And then the rest of the day, you know, it might drop a bit. So I don't want to put anything that's too fragile.
Because
it's not going to be like 80 degrees all the time. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, and you could always, I think like an easy thing to try would be like Tillandsia, the air plants. That's like the same family as just like the Spanish moss. And that's one that, you know, just once a week, you could just like hold under the shower and you know, the steam that's coming off of the shower should be enough. And that's not anything that you'd even have to pot up. Those are ones that can just set, you know, they just sit right on the shelves. And that's another like epiphyte that you usually find, like just growing in trees, that I think would probably work well in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Tillandsia.
Yeah. Thanks, Tillandsia. Yeah.
Love your idea. So when you finish, you're going to have to send us a photo of the finished product because I want to see how that looks.
Sure.
All right. Appreciate it. I'm hearing an idea like that for the first time, and I'm sure that others must have done it, but I like that idea a lot. Let's go to Joan in Madison next. Joan, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes. I'd like your guest's opinion on putting orchids outside during the summer in filtered light. What does he think about that?
I actually think that's, a great idea. It's a good way to get them, like, outside, and rainfall can be really beneficial for, you know, all plants. It's a great way for them to, you know, because the Madison City Water, I'm not sure. Oh, you're calling from Milwaukee.
No, from Madison.
Oh, Madison. Oh, yeah. So the water here is, you know, pretty, even the city water is pretty high in alkalinity. And ideally, plants would like a low alkaline, low pH water. And alkalinity actually drives the pH up. And, there, you know, there's just added salts and different things in the water. I think putting them outside in filtered light, you definitely want to make sure that they don't get burned by the sun. But I think that's a great idea. And, you know, anything above, like, I think as long as the nights aren't any cooler than 55, 60, you'll be good to go.
Mm-hmm. All right. There we go. Thank you so much for calling. We turn next to Mary in Portage. Mary, hello.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have an orchid that I got about this time in 2014. It blooms twice a year. I've had no issues with it. However, I think it's time to repot it. So I'd like some tips on that. And also, do I cut off the green? These are roots that are sprouting. I think they're roots. They're sprouting out. Some are like 3 feet long. Do I cut those back? And I also have a new shoot coming up. Should I wait until it blooms to repot?
Wow. Okay, Mary. Do you know what type of orchid you have?
No, it's pretty hardy. Probably the common one you said does really well because I have it on a north window.
Mm-hmm.
What are the flowers like?
They're pink, and they're, in fact, I left one on because I like how they look when they're dried.
Okay.
They're a very pretty flower, pink.
Look like a heart or look like, what are they?
The leaves or the little petals are somewhat heart-shaped.
Okay. So anytime I'm repotting an orchid, I would just, if it's about to flower, I think you want to wait till after it's flowered.
Okay.
Or it might just, you know, drop the, you know, just terminate that flower bud.
Mm-hmm.
But those really long roots, you don't want to cut off. You probably will want to, like, whenever I'm removing the pot from a current orchid, I just make sure that it's, you know, really well watered, because that's when those roots are going to be the most pliable. Like, you know, after that white sheath has kind of, you see the green kind of showing through after a good watering. That's when you kind of start wanting to pull, you know, you're going to pull it out of its pot. You're going to get rid of all the potting media to the best of your ability, off the roots.
Okay.
And you're going to, if you see any like dead roots, they will be like kind of shriveled up or brown. You'll kind of just remove those. And that's, you know, you always want to use a sterilized, tool. What, like single use razor blades are good for that. If you're comfortable doing that, or just, you know, scissors, like a sharp pair of scissors, you can cut that away with. But yeah, when you're picking the size of the new pot, you kind of want something that's going to be snug for the plant, but, you don't really want it to just have a ton of room, and you really want to pack, the roots in there as best as your ability without breaking them.
The roots that are hanging over the side,
mm-hmm.
I stuff those in?
Yeah, so you'll try to work them in as gently as you can. But if there are still some that are out, you know, that means they're just pulling their moisture, like, from out of the air or during your watering. And it's not necessarily a bad thing to have roots coming out. It's just, you know, that's actually a good sign of healthy root growth. And so, yeah, you'll try to, like, kind of, if you can't get all of them in the new pot, that's fine. I just wouldn't make, you know, go as for as large of a pot to accommodate the roots. But, you know, get as much as you can in there while it's still being a snug fit on the orchid. And just add in a new orchid bark mix.
Okay, yeah, I have the bark mix. Now, I heard someone say that you should make sure the bark mix is wet. Do you water it?
I don't think it might not matter right off the bat, but you could always wet it, but I don't usually wet it all that much.
Okay.
You know, when I'm doing it, I'll give it a good water after it's, you know, potted up, but you know, really let water run through it and get wet the media.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. You've been very helpful.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, I hope that helps.
Appreciate your call. And lots of callers. Let's go to Barb in Superior, who's been waiting a bit. Barb, hi to you.
Hi, good morning. I guess I wanted to make just a comment and maybe one question at the end. I have an orchid. I don't know what the botanical name is for it. It was, you know, from a retail store. And I bought it in 2010, and the reason I remember was because we had just moved into a new house, and it was a little tiny house, and I thought, oh, this will look, you know, make it look a little nicer. And I keep it in the east window, and it seems to flower, like, every month and a half. But it only has one stem, and when the flowers come, there's multiple pods. I've counted them even because I think it's so amazing, like 7, 8, 9 pods. And when the flowers are on there for the longest time, they don't fall off. And when they start falling off, as soon as they're all off, I start with the scissors and cut the dead part off. I thought new growth couldn't come on dead areas. So I just wind up cutting it down. And then it sprouts another sprout, but only one, and it only always has one leaf. It doesn't grow leaves.
Interesting.
Is there a purpose for the leaves?
Well, yeah, the leaves are beneficial, and I mean, so they serve a lot of the same functions as they do on other plants, but and they're like
only one leaf.
Yeah, so I guess it sounds like it might be a Phalaenopsis if it just gets that long.
You know what? It was, the brand was Ice Orchid. That's another comment I wanted to make. It's my husband's big job of the week. He gives it 3 ice cubes a week.
Oh, no, that's a no-no.
Well, that's what the directions were.
Yeah.
This thing has done, I mean, besides no leaves, it, like, continually flowers. I have it in an east window, and you know how cold it is here. It's not the greatest window.
And we close the curtains at night, so it I'm sure gets colder in there at night.
Mm-hmm.
And my house is super dry. I have a little... I know.
So you're like the orchid miracle worker.
I know. I can't believe it. Someone even gave me an orchid at work because I told them about this one, how it just keeps going and going.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing the same thing for that at work now. And I see that's got two more leaves, and the flowers died on that, so I cut the stem back.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm waiting to see if I get flowers on that one at work.
Well, yeah, and you bring up a good point. It is semi-beneficial for it to get those cooler nights. A lot of orchids, you know, there are, you know, most homes, you keep the house at a, you know, constant 70, 72, whatever it may be in the winter and summer. But really, they like those cooler nights. So about 10 degrees cooler is typically advantageous for them and can even, stimulate them to bloom. So maybe by closing the blinds on it, the curtains on it, you're giving it that little bit of a microclimate.
The light is not filtered. It's just a regular window, an mm-hmm. east window.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would say, are you using any kind of fertilizer?
No, should I?
Typically, you would want to, you know, they say use like a, you know, you can just buy an orchid fertilizer or any kind of 20-10-20 or 20-20-20 and use it at a quarter of the rate, like a quarter of the strength. And you just want to use that. You can use it week. They always say weekly. So like a week fertilizer every week or, once a month. And then you might start to see leaf growth. Because it's going to take a lot of energy to do all that. And if you're just giving it water, it's not, you know, it's not getting those nutrients to.
Should all those little roots on the bottom be covered with potting material?
They don't necessarily, you know, sometimes they're just going to grow those roots that just go out into the air. Whenever you decide to, you know, like if it gets so unruly and so like so many roots out of the pot, that might be a time to repot it, but,
and then cover the roots.
Yeah. And then, yeah, you'd cover those up, but,
Well, maybe I'd get some leaves then.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say
along
go
with a little fertilizer.
Yeah. Go with use a little fertilizer and, I always just like to run it under like the kitchen sink, like once a week. Because the ice cubes, they're usually not giving it enough water at one time, and it's a cold water, it's cold, like almost freezing water dripping down through the media. And, you know, they're used to like tropical conditions. So,
well,
you might see.
It's been 8 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough.
It worked.
Orchids are, I think, usually tougher than people think they are. But, it sounds like you got a
brand name, Ice Orchid.
Yeah.
I think it's probably not the name of the orchid. It's the method.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I don't know of an ice orchid, an orchid that's named Ice Orchid.
Well, I know it's something that's, even my mom swears by putting ice cubes. She won't even listen to me when I tell her don't put ice cubes on the orchid. And then she's like, why doesn't it rebloom? And I'm like, okay, well.
There you go. Barb, thank you so much for calling. Good luck. Appreciate your call. Oh, boy. You can join in, too. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments as we talk today with Colton Blackburn, conservatory curator at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens. And Kathleen in Oregon, your turn. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi, thank you. A few years ago, I bought a couple of orchids, and it was in the middle of winter, as we are now, with some really cold temperatures. And although they were wrapped up for me with newspaper and in a brown paper bag, I lost them within the first week. I think they just got too cold on the way home. So if I would come to the botanical gardens this weekend or buy an orchid in this winter weather, What's the best way to transport that home? I was thinking an insulated bag or bringing a cooler or something. Do you have any ideas?
Yeah, anything like that would, you know, really help. Like, I think, yeah, like a cooler like that. And I think they'll have bags and, you know, they'll have them in paper bags and then in plastic bags. But you really want to make sure that, you know, you're like starting your car before you're kind of taking your orchid out there. I think sure. Like having your car warmed up and, you know, maybe even just like pulled up to the entrance so you can get it in there quickly. But yeah, that's, you know, it's a tough thing I'm figuring out. The cold weather is, yeah, hard to transport them.
But someone else called on another show and said they use a cooler, and that's been, that worked really well. I mean, if you've got them in a bag and then plastic and then you put them in a cooler, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm. Sure, just so they're not getting that real chill when you're transporting. Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of the same thing you see with poinsettias is why they kind of sleeve those. And it's like, you know, that's a tropical plant that easily gets zapped by cold weather. So, yeah, I think just like taking any steps to make sure it's not exposed, even for a minute.
You know, it wouldn't hurt to bring the cooler in with you when you go in so that the cooler stays warm.
Yeah.
Right. That's a great idea. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Orchid Quest, Saturday and Sunday, February 3rd and 4th. So it's right here, right now. And it's at the Obrick Gardens, sponsored by the Orchid Society, or the Orchid Growers Guild, excuse me, the Orchid Growers Guild. And it's a really, really fun event and a chance to talk with the experts, to look at tons of different varieties of orchids, to see some really spectacular orchids that are in the competitions, but then to go ahead and buy your own orchid or anything else. Essentially, isn't it, Colton?
Yeah, they'll have a bunch of, you know, they'll be selling orchiata bark, and there's even a couple lectures. You know, there's one on Saturday at 2:30 about how to grow orchids, and then there's another one, another two on Sunday, one at 11 a.m. Called Repotting and Growing Orchids, and then one at 1 in the afternoon called Wow Fowls. So, about Phalaenopsis. So.
Oh, there we go. So, all of that on Orchid Quest. Colton Blackburn, our guest. I'm Larry Mueller here for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. We're talking about orchids on this edition of Garden Talk, and probably we could get into some other tropical plants as well with our guest. I'm Larry Mueller, by the way. Colton Blackburn, our guest conservatory curator at the Obrick Botanical Gardens. And, of course, talking a bit about the Orchid Quest show this weekend. Lots going on there. And we've got callers who've been waiting. Well, the number for you, by the way, we have an open line at 1-800-642-1234. Give a call. Sam in Ironwood, Michigan, thank you for calling.
Hey there.
What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm wondering how tropical epiphytes like orchids end up getting their nutrients. I know that many of their roots are aerial and not actually attached to a substrate. So how are they pulling nutrients into the plant, and how can we mimic that in our homes?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, Sam. I would say, you know, even in rainfall, they're going to be getting trace elements. So, you know, you're going to be getting trace minerals and different, nutrients just in the rain, as well as, you know, there is going to be decomposing, leaf matter and organic matter just in the branches of the trees that's going to be running down the trunks. But, you know, ultimately the epiphytes that you see, like these orchids in the wild aren't necessarily what we think of when we see these giant, cultivated ones that people have, you know, like 1,000 flower spikes on or that. But yeah, so they I think for the most part, that's how they're getting their nutrients. But they're going
to
be
it's pretty hard to. To replicate that in your home with the natural things that you were talking about is difficult.
I would just say, you know, using rainwater, a lot of people collect rainwater and will water their house plants with that just because it is much more beneficial than watering with just like water from the city line would be, you know, a good step in that direction.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thanks. Good luck. Thank you so much for calling. We'll take some more calls there. What about, I'm trying to think of the other water that you might purchase in the...
Like the distilled water?
Distilled is what I was thinking.
That's probably okay, but, you know, it's everything's
lacking.
Filtered out.
Yeah.
So it's, missing a lot of the things that...
The plant wants.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then to Linda in Pleasant Prairie. Hi, Linda.
Hi. Thank you so much. I love this show, and I love that you're talking about orchids today. I fell in love with orchids when we took trips to Hawaii, and I have about 12 Phalaenopsis. And my question is, I have two or three of them that have very wrinkled leaves. The roots seem to be okay. They look healthy. And I don't know if I'm overwatering or I am underwatering.
Under, probably.
I would think. Thanks for calling, Linda. But, yeah, I think you're probably underwatering in those scenarios. Usually the leaves kind of shrivel up like almost like raisin-like, like, you know, when they're not getting enough water. So I think that's probably the situation you're facing.
And what would you recommend is the best way to water? I've recently put them in the sink, and then I pour water over them, let that drain out. Before that, I'd give them, a little sip from the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say, what you're doing is probably the best way. You want to make sure that if you're not using, rainwater or, room temperature mm-hmm. water, that it's not too cold or not hot.
Mm-hmm.
And you really want to really flush it out so you're not accumulating salts or anything in the water from if you use fertilizer or anything like that.
Okay. And should I maybe step up the frequency of watering for those with the wrinkled leaves?
Yeah, I would think that would be a good idea. And just, see how they bounce back and... you just kind of have to watch the leaves and...
I think that... Give them a little more water and then just see what happens.
All right. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Linda. Thanks a lot for calling. And here's another Linda in Lake Geneva. Hi, Linda.
Hi. I love this conversation. I'm fortunate enough to raise my orchids in a glass top sun space. We're back in the woods, but when I buy an orchid and it'll grow for a couple of years in the bark, then when it's time to repot, I repot my orchids into a coarse perlite, and some of these orchids I've had since 1998, and right now I've got about 13 of them that are in full bloom. When I water the orchids, I have my orchids sitting on a saucer, but they're not in the saucer. And on top of the saucer, I have I have trivets. And so when I water the orchids, and I'm on well water here, I use the weekly orchid fertilizer, a quarter teaspoon to a gallon of water. And I pour that right on the perlite, and it flushes through, and it accumulates in the saucer underneath the orchid, and then and I do that three weeks in a month, and then the last week I water with just plain water, and I always use the warm water, and I've had really good luck. The perlite's nice because it doesn't break down.
Mm-hmm.
And generally when I have to transplant the Phalaenopsis, it's because they've just grown tall, and then I have to, prune them from the bottom and then reset them in a pot. But I've had really good luck, you know, with the orchids. I have I have Paphiopedilums that I've divided, and one is blooming right now in just pure perlite. One I've put in the bottom of a pot that goes out in the summer, and that's in just the soilless mix. That's blooming right now. And then I do have several in a pot. I have four blooms right now, and that's in bark because the Paphiopedilums do seem to like more moisture.
Yeah, I think with, you know, perlite does seem like it's a, you know, a good option. But yeah, I think you have that trade-off of you may have to water more with perlite just because it's so, you know, quickly draining. So kind of based off, you know, the orchid, I think.
Obviously, yeah, you know what you're doing, Linda.
It's worked. And yeah. I end up watering about once a week, you know, give or take a day. The bark is a little trickier because the plants that are still in bark, I do have to put a finger down in to make sure that the bark has dried up on enough, you know, so it's ready to be watered mm-hmm. again. But anyway, thank you for this program.
Oh, thank you very much for calling. She obviously knows what she's
yeah.
doing. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that perlite trick.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot. Lydia in Manitowoc up next. Hi, Lydia.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I bought my orchids, one from a rummage sale, actually, and two from the clearance at the store. And they're all three doing wonderful. Two of them are getting new plants growing out of them. And what I did was I did plant mine in a pot with the bark, and I put a stick fertilizer in there. They have orchid stick fertilizers.
Yeah.
And I planted them in an orchid pot, which so it has the holes.
Mm-hmm.
It's a pot that has holes in the sides. And when I water them, I get water from my plants, which I have quite a few, from the artesian well in town. And they're just doing terrific. I love to buy plants at the where they have the half dead ones, and
those clearance
really
plants.
Good because I really hate to see a plant die. And so that's where I get most of my plants, and they're doing well. Of course, I live in a refurbished apartment building that has the huge windows. It's an old warehouse, and
oh, nice.
It is facing the north side because there's three huge windows. They do real well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that sounds
sounds ideal, Lydia.
Yeah.
But
those orchid fertilizer sticks are great, and I just put those amongst the bark, and then I put the whole thing in a bowl of water, warm well water, and that's how I water them, and I just leave them in there for a minute, and I take them out, and they're good for a couple weeks.
There you go. Lydia, thanks for sharing how you raise orchids. It's always good you always learn, at least I always learn something from listeners on this program.
Yeah, it's always great to hear like how other people are, you know, their successes in orchid growing. And
absolutely. Well, Janet in Oak Creek has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Janet.
Oh, hello. Two questions for you. These would be on tropicals. The first one is the Hoya Indian rope plant. And I'm wondering about fertilization and watering. It seemed like my plant was doing much better when I was giving it a lot of water, but on the internet, which it's probably wrong information, said to leave it drier. And then the second plant is the if I'm saying it correctly, the Monanelia plant, I think it is, coming from Metanelia. And that comes from some Asian country, Vietnam perhaps.
Oh, does it get those big pink, like pendulous flowers?
Yes, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And this is the third year. Last year I got flowers also, but they weren't quite as big. So I just want to make sure that I'm giving it the right fertilization so I can keep it going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not totally sure with the Hoya, you know what, if it is like a succulent though, you're probably gonna let it go pretty dry in between waterings. And I would just do like probably a week fertilizer application between like once a month.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think, you know, the best way, you know, it's going to be different with every plant depending on how root bound they are or, you know, how small the pot is. Because it sounds like you said you were watering your Hoya more frequently and it liked that.
Yeah.
So yes. Yeah, I'd say you could, you know, as long as the, you know, leaves feel fleshy and firm, like I would keep going with what you were doing.
And the Metanilla,
Metanilla. If the flowers are a little bit smaller, you know, that could just be just variables in the weather or temperature or something. So I wouldn't be too concerned with it right now. Keep, you know, if it's growing and flowering, it's going to be pretty good.
And thank you so much for calling. Colton Blackburn, our guest today, conservatory curator at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens, is talking with us today about orchids and some other tropical plants as well, and promoting Orchid Quest at Olbrich Gardens Saturday and Sunday. Larry Mueller, here for Garden Talk. Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller, talking orchids and a little about some other tropical plants as well with our guest, Colton Blackburn, conservatory curator at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens. Questions for him, give a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page. And we'll go right back to the phones. And Chris in the Dells up next. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
Well, I have had orchids for many years, and this year I have my orchid doing something it's never done before. I have an orchid that grew another orchid at the end of the flower stem.
Oh, so you got a kiki.
A kiki?
That's what they're called.
It's the Hawaiian name for baby.
Okay.
So you have just, it's like it'll be an exact clone of the mother plant. And you can just, if it's got leaves and roots that are at least the length of, I would say, to your first knuckle in your thumb, you could, you know, remove that and pot that up.
Okay, would I just cut it right off of the stem and just
pot it? You can usually even just, like, kind of grab it from the base and it will even probably twist off. But, yeah, if you're being extra careful, yeah, you can just, you know, make a little cut, right, so you know that it has its roots and it has the new stem.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's got several leaves and it's bigger than my thumb, so that's good.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds great. You've got another orchid.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. And let's go to Ruth in Eau Claire next. Let's see here. Ruth, hi. Thanks for calling. Did I not get Ruth on here? Oop. Oh, I know what I did. Ruth, hi.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Thank you for calling.
Great. Yeah, thank you. I have orchids, and they've, you know, kind of taken care of themselves in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
They've been pretty incredible. I don't take a lot of credit for them, but they bloom beautifully. But a couple years ago, I bought pots at, you know, this nice floral place in town, nice plant place, and it has holes in it. It was sold as an orchid pot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, though, the roots go through those holes, and so when I come to repot it after the flowering, I'm worried about, gee, how do I deal with that?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's that's definitely an issue we all face. But I think you just want to make sure that you really, you know, give it a heavy watering before, like, really just, like, wet those roots down, because that's going to be when they're the most pliable. And you can, you know, if you work pretty gently, you can kind of shimmy them out and, you know, shimmy a little bit at a time and try to work the roots back through the holes. But yeah, it's kind of a tricky process.
But that's,
yeah, I wish I hadn't bought them that way. I regret it.
But they're better for the plant, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, they are. You do want, it is good to have, like, more than just the one drainage hole at the bottom. But, yeah, I mean, and, you know, if you get one that it just breaks off, you know, you can just, you know, cut it back a little bit, or to just make sure it's a clean cut where the root died, but, or where it, you know, snapped off. But for the most part, it'll be okay.
All right.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. And we have open lines. Get you on pretty quickly. Give a call at 1-800-642-1234. We'd love to hear from you. Lynn in Baraboo emailed to say she had two orchid buds that fell off the plant before they opened, wondering what could cause that. And then also she has an orchid which sent up a stem, but now instead of buds, it has grown leaves and a root. Just what we were talking about here. When should she cut this off and plant in its own pot? You've kind of, I think, described that just now. But what about the buds that fell off the plant before they opened?
That might just be a case of like a nutrient deficiency, or, you know, just it could just be some variable. Probably most likely a nutrient deficiency.
The Orchid Quest is February. It's tomorrow and Sunday at Olbrich Botanical Gardens in Madison. And so that's one of, is there a charge connected with that? Do you know offhand?
It's actually free. The admission is free to the event. There'll be, I think around 12 vendors there and a bunch of different of the Orchid Society showing orchids. And
will people be able to also just pay that small admission fee for the conservatory itself? Because if you're there for the, if you haven't been through that conservatory, you really should.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, so it's just the $2 for admission. And yeah, there's, you know, we even have orchids blooming in there that you can go in and see. So really, orchids, lots of orchids to see.
And there are some, it's on a couple of, the conservatory itself is on a couple of different levels. You kind of walk around on two different, there's running, you know, a little waterfall and a little bridge, and there's birds in there and a tree. Is there a tree? There's a very tall plant.
Yes, there's a New Guinea chestnut. Yeah, that's almost the 50 feet tall up, you know. It's pretty much hits the glass. So we'll be doing some pruning on that this March when we close the conservatory for 2 weeks. And that's when we kind of get in there with a big 45-foot lift and really do a lot of the tree pruning for the year.
Oh, are there other events at Olbrich that you just to mention, or?
Well, I know next weekend we are going to be having a booth down at Garden Expo, which we'll be offering. We'll have a raffle and we'll be there answering questions people have about plants and gardening, and we'll also be selling memberships I think at half price, so it's a good time to get a membership for the year for Olbrich.
Yeah, it's a great time, and I'll be there at Garden Expo as well with a couple of experts, and we'll be giving a presentation at 9:30 on Saturday morning for an hour, and I think I'll be giving away a few books during that, and you'll have a chance to answer or ask questions about plant diseases and planting, and we can talk about flowers and vegetables and everything else. That's at Garden Expo next weekend, not this weekend, but the next weekend. And of course, you folks are there the whole time.
Yeah, we'll be there, you know, I think it's all 3 days. It starts Friday and goes through Sunday. Yeah, so we'll be there.
Well, between the Orchid Quest and Garden Expo, there's a couple of chances. I mean, the cold weather we've got here to go on inside and smell these plants and be in a warm spot, it's really, really nice. And with some good humidity, too.
Oh, yeah. We got about 80% humidity in there. So it's a nice wake up from the dry, cold air that we're getting outside.
Let's go to Rebecca in Green Bay next. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I have a question, not orchid related, but I have a Christmas cactus that I cannot get to bloom. And I'm wondering if you have any hints.
You're probably too nice to it.
I really can't say. I don't. You know, I grow very little cacti and succulents, so it's not really an area I know too much about.
They don't like a lot of sun, and they don't like a lot of water. And if you're watering it too much, I mean, they thrive more in neglect than they do in... when you're being really kind to them. I know that from personal experience.
Okay. Well, thanks anyway.
Are you watering a lot?
No.
Well, you shouldn't.
No. Nope. No, I don't water it a lot and let it dry out. And
Are you fertilizing it at all?
Dark for about 10 hours a day. Now I try to force it, and it just won't be forced.
And is it in indirect sunlight otherwise?
Yes, indirect sunlight.
You're doing everything right.
They're just picky that way, aren't they?
Yeah.
I had one that bloomed all the time. Mine bloomed. It seemed like forever blooming. It was a huge plant. And I mean, you know, every once in a while I'd remember to throw a little water in there. I never fertilized it. And it's just... bloom.
Well, maybe that's what I got to do. Huh?
I don't know, but
yeah. Stop asking it nicely.
Okay.
Thanks, Rebecca. I don't know. That's probably terrible advice, but it certainly has worked for me. Donna in Reedsburg, your turn. Hi, Donna.
Hi there, and thanks for this call. I have a new orchid. The grandchildren gave it to me a couple months ago, and I'm very green about orchids.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no idea what it's starting to dry up. The roots are starting to dry, and I'm afraid of overwatering.
I don't think you should. Don't get too scared. I think, you know, if the roots are starting to shrivel up, then you want to make sure you're getting it more water. A nice healthy root is going to have like that, you know, that you're going to see that white sheath. And there's going to be those green tips at the end. You want to water it until you see those, you know, that whole sheath kind of turn that nice green color. Then you know that the roots are really at a point where they're absorbing the water.
I guess I'm just afraid of overwatering it, and so I really haven't been watering per se. So, and I noticed I just picked it out of the other pot it was in. And the plastic dish that it's not a dish, it's just a plastic cup that it's in. The roots in the bottom, they have the holes in, but the roots are all brown in the bottom. I suppose I have to trim them off.
Well, and yeah, and you know, you might, you know, it's okay if they're in there for now. You might want to save that if you repot it. You don't really want to disturb them in their pot. And if it's in a saucer, you want to make sure that there's, you know, never any water in the bottom of the saucer. They like to be wet for that period of time, but they don't like to sit in any kind of water.
So if you can put some pebbles or something to get the pot off the saucer.
Oh.
That's what you really want to do.
Yeah.
And you just have a little water in the saucer then with the pebbles and then set the
Yeah, because in your house you're going to definitely have not as much humidity. So it may require you to water the orchid more frequently if, you know, and I always kind of, you know, see what it feels like after you've watered it, like kind of feel the weight of the pot and then when it's really dried out. And then from there you can kind of gauge at how far along it is between, you know, drying out.
And you might just take it pick it up and take it and put it under the sink and throw a lot of water at it and just soak it without that dish underneath it.
Yeah.
And then put it back in the dish, and then you could put some water in the bottom of the dish.
Mm-hmm. Well, this container, it's about the like the size of a great big ice cream cup, maybe a little bit bigger, and it's clear plastic, and I can see the green roots are all marbled all through the chips that are in the pod. And it's just not that big, so I guess I'm afraid, can I just set that in the water for a little bit so the roots soak up?
Oh, yeah, yeah, you can, you know, and it should only be, like, you'll start to see those roots turn pretty quickly, within, like, 10 seconds or so. You know, they should start, you'll start to see them turn green if there's enough, you know, water being poured over it.
Okay, and I do have little dead stems. My kitties have been chewing on the little shoots that are started. Can I trim them off, or is that going to hurt it?
You don't really want to mess with the leaves, but you might want to make like a clean cut on a leaf if it's like kind of shredded, because then it's going to be, you know, more prone to sort of secondary infections.
Okay. Well, I guess they don't bother the leaves. It's the stems. It's some of this root system that's over the top of the small pot.
Oh, then, yeah, you might want to cut those off. But,
okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, Is the orchid, are orchid plants cause any danger to kitties?
They should, no, I don't think they're poisonous.
I don't think they're poisonous either. They might, no, I don't.
No, think. I've never, I don't think I've heard of anything like endangering a pet.
Okay, all right.
All right, good.
Would there be a book in the library that would be helpful for me to read?
Oh, yeah, there's also, you know, if you know the type of orchid you can have, like I'd say, yeah.
I think it's a moth orchid.
Yeah, one of the Phalaenopsis. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I would say just, yeah, look up, you know, you can look up on the computer or, yeah, any kind of book on Phalaenopsis would be useful.
Yeah.
That would be great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And on to Helen in Manitowoc. Helen, your turn. Thanks for calling.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call. I have an orchid. It looks, I mean, it's got the most luxuriant green leaves, one going one way and another crown going the other way. Some of the leaves are as much as 10 inches long. Mm-hmm. And it's growing beautifully. It's got roots coming out in all directions. And I repotted it about a year ago. I got it 2 years ago at the Garden Expo. It's called the Chai Yu Peace.
Hmm.
I think it's a Phalaenopsis, but I'm not, you know, some brand of that. She said it was easy to grow. It hasn't bloomed. I repotted it a year ago. It hasn't bloomed at all. I've got great greens, and it looks healthy. I haven't taken it out of the pot since I repotted it. But I'm wondering, first of all, how much fertilizer to give it, because I give it some. Mm-hmm. If all these roots are coming out all over the place, does that mean it needs to be repotted? And I had one other question, but I can't remember it now.
It doesn't necessarily need to be repotted. It might, are the leaves like a dark green?
Yes.
So that's probably an indication that it's not getting enough light. You kind of want them to be like a grass green. You might try like giving it a little more indirect light. Because I think it's, if the leaves are that dark, they probably want to be a little bit lighter. And then for fertilizer, I'd say just you could do anywhere between like a month and week, like weekly. Doing like a week strength fertilizer. And whenever I fertilize, you kind of want to make sure that that you've watered the plant before. So that the roots are sort of that green color, so that when you do apply the fertilizer mixed in the water, that it is being absorbed and not sitting on the vellum that surrounds the roots and causing any kind of burn.
Sure. I moved it a few weeks ago to a lace curtained window on the west side instead, and it was on the east before that. So and the leaves coming out now, the newer ones are lighter. So maybe that makes the difference. Maybe they just wasn't getting enough light where it was. So
yeah, and that might help. Yeah, and you just and it also, you know, if you can anyway give it those a little bit cooler of temperatures during the night, it may stimulate it to bloom.
Yeah, it goes down to 62 in our house at night. Is that cool enough?
That should be you should have like as long as there's like about a 10 degree difference between day and night temps.
Yeah.
I'll just be patient then.
All right. Thanks,
Thank
Helen.
You.
Yeah, appreciate it. And Marilyn in Superior, your turn. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. I got a start from a landlord that my son-in-law was living out in San Francisco. It is a epidendrum, a reed stem type epidendrum.
Okay.
I went online and found the genus and species name, Ibagensis, something like that. And a couple years ago, I got it to flower.
Okay.
And it's doing well. The leaves are beautiful green.
But it's not flowering again.
And it's not flowering again. So
yeah.
What could I try?
And are you fertilizing it at all?
I haven't in the winter. I did in the summer one year, and maybe that was it. But in the summer, I put it outside. In the winter, I put it, keep it in a north window. And it grows.
Mm-hmm.
It grows well, but I should be.
Yeah, because they typically have, I think, like about, they have two different, like, growing periods, two distinct seasons. There's a warm, wet growing season, followed by a cooler, drier period. So I think maybe as long as you're kind of mimicking those two scenarios, that can, spur it to flower.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like she is, in a way. If she's keeping it outside in the summer, mm-hmm. she's got the wetter, hopefully, and then drier in the wintertime in the house. But fertilizing is something she should be doing.
Yeah, definitely during, like, when it's, outside and, like, while the plant is actively growing.
Sure.
You want to make sure you're doing just, like, a weak fertilizer application.
So not in the winter, but just in the summer.
It depends. If your plant is actively growing for,
in the winter, yeah.
Yeah, it could all depend on, because it's inside, so it's still at a warm temperature, and depending how you're watering, it could still be growing.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's growing. That's what I know.
Yeah, so I would, and they even sell, like, that orchid fertilizer you can just use as a mist or all sorts of things out there.
Well, I tried a kind of bark-like, not fertilizer, soil, and that didn't seem to work. It seemed like they dried out too fast, and the plants would get spots on it.
That's usually a sign that it's got excess, I think, water.
Oh.
Yeah. If they're raised like dark bumps, but...
Yeah.
That's edema. You might have to, that's a whole thing you can read about. Yeah.
Yeah, the book that you're going to get is going to talk all about it, or online as well. We're out of time. Colton, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me, and thanks for everyone calling in.
Colton Blackburn, conservatory curator at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens. The Orchid Quest is this weekend at Olbrich Gardens, Saturday and Sunday, so don't miss that.
Yeah, come check it out.
Next week on Garden Talk, Dick Zondag from Jung Seeds joins us. Thanks for listening. Stay with us.